All right, this is Pure Decking, show 470 for Thursday, March the 10th, 1876. The show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering just exactly how long until we come up with synthetic replacement organs so you can just go get a new liver like you do an oil change, because that would be fucking awesome. So, anyways, yeah, I'm not sure what's up with the IRC client on the main webpage, but going just through IRC seems to be working, so I'm assuming something's changed on the back end. It's throwing a cross-origin error, which is odd. Maybe it's time to gut the old G15 page and make something new. Tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
Hola! I have hard cider, and it's good. The life is mostly good.
Ah, there you go. So, and we have an RU. What's up, RU?
Not much, man. Mostly true, but false.
Big if true.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, yeah, you know, I've got nothing to open with. No witty reports, no jokes, just nothing. Fuck.
I had a rant, but I decided not.
It's all good. So, anyways, I guess we'll just go ahead and open up with this. This is going to be political, but it's kind of interesting. So this is not a news story, you know, if you're to open up with a discussion here. This is a bug report in Mozilla's Bugzilla. It's bug 1758773, opened one day ago, updated 3 hours ago, at least as the last refresh of this page. I have not refreshed it in a bit, so it may have updated since then. It's got multiple authors here. It's got a couple attached files, including a root certificate and a screenshot of an email. So, the text of the bug report here is, Russia started trying to force people to install government root certificates. And they've got a website here to gosuslugi.ru/TLS. There are emails being sent from this site. It's the government site that provides various government services like taxes, marriage registration, international passport ordering, whatever, where half of Russian citizens are registered. The email says, problems accessing some sites. Dear friends, some sites may not open now. This is due to problems in the work of certificate authorities that check the certificate or check the security and reliability of internet resources. In order to have access to all sites and the necessary online services, including the state services, we recommend installing browsers that support the Russian certificate. Now there is such functionality, for example, in Yandex Browser or Atom. Hope for understanding, Mistrifra team. He doesn't want to attach the email itself because of headers and repercussions, but he's got screenshots of it, and it's all in Russian, so obviously somebody's translated this. And if you scroll down a little bit, commenter U 702758 says, I also got this email, and my ISP redirected me to the GoSusLuigi site as a captive portal the first time he tried to visit any HTTP website. He contacted support, and they said he had to install the certificate. And, of course, you know, they think it's going to be used for man-in-the-middle attacks, which makes sense because that's how you do SSL inspection. I've set up SSL inspection in a corporate network 3 times, and getting the certificate deployed is the biggest pain in the butt, especially because you'll run into all kinds of tools, you know, developers with their own tool sets. You'll find Python and Java keep their own certificate stores, especially on Linux. You'll find a lot of applications keep their own certificate stores. So being able to do this SSL man in the middle for all machines on a particular segment of network is a right pain in the ass if you don't have an easy way to get these certs deployed to everything. Now, on most Windows machines, you can do it with group policy or, you know, SCCM. On Linux machines, things get interesting. Ansible helps. Puppet is another way of doing it. Just managing your packages or building your own Docker images with your apps in them. I guess it'd be Flatpaks. But yeah, you have to do a lot of work to get these certs deployed everywhere. So I imagine what Russia is doing here is they've gotten a hold of at least some of their ISPs or hosting, and they're saying, look, you're going to forward all your traffic through our system, and you're going to have your end users install this certificate, and that's what you will do. And it's, you know, if you're in Russia and the Russian government's doing that, well, I don't blame you for complying. I'm just going to say that. Most people who work for an ISP are probably not willing to go to the camps over, you know, what's probably an underpaid job. I can't really blame them. I mean, I was joking with people at my own job that, you know, if you're kidnapped and they're about to take the bolt cutters to you, tell them what they want. It's not worth it. We were joking around about it, but I mean, I was only half kidding. Like, if somebody seriously has kidnapped one of my people and they're going to torture them, tell them it's fine. We'll figure out somebody's in the network. We'll rotate keys. We'll do whatever, but just it's not worth it, man. But, I was talking about this with some of the other people on the channel before the show, and I was told that apparently there's another article floating around that VPN services are the filling all of the top app searches in Russia right now. But, yeah, this is absolutely what you have to do a man in the middle, because that's how you do SSL traffic inspection, because you're not cracking the encryption, and you're not going to have the private key for all of these different websites out there. There's just no way to do it. So instead, what you do is you stand up a proxy server of some description. Usually it's a proxy. There's some other ways to do it where that involve firewalls and stuff like that. But it, essentially what's happening is whatever box you're using to do it, it's going to accept it's going to act as a proxy server, and it will accept the SSL connection from your end user using the certificate that you deploy. So in this case, that would be this certificate that's attached to the Mozilla bug report, right? So that connection is secured from your machine to the proxy, and then the proxy initiates the connection out to the internet and accepts a complete, you know, and accepts the SSL connection from whatever you're connecting to. Right? So you actually have two SSL tunnels, one from you to the proxy, and then one from the proxy to the, you know, whatever the internet service that you're connecting to is. So that way, the proxy can do things like scan the traffic. Now, in the corporate world, we do this for enforcing data loss protection, URL filtering, basically keeping people off gambling and porn sites at work. And, you know, in some industries, you're required to do a specific level of traffic logging. Financial industry, for example, we have some regulations on how long we keep some logs and things like that. Yeah, so, you know, for one thing, if you're on a corporate managed device, you probably shouldn't be doing personal shit on it, because even though it's SSL, and most of the time they have exemptions for health and people's bank accounts and things like that, just because you don't want to deal with the traffic getting logged from there. Yeah, do a little bit of OPSEC and separate your usage to a personal machine for personal stuff. And I'll tell you, I use a cell modem. So when I'm in the office with like my personal iPad, it's getting its internet from cell. It's not getting it from Wi-Fi. It does not connect to the corporate networks with my personal stuff. Work machines on work networks, personal machines on not work networks. So that's how I operate. And whenever I bring in if I need to bring in a personal laptop or something like that, it doesn't connect to the corporate network. I'll tether it to my phone. So, because I set up the security and I know what it would take to get the thing talking on the internet, and I'm not willing to do it. So, but, you know, and with your corporate machines, they're often managed and have all this handled in the background. Now, that's kind of hard to do to a country. especially when you don't have all the browsers and stuff just installing your certificate. And given the state of the world right now, most of them would probably reject it. So instead, they're just blocking people on their connection until they go install it. I imagine they'll be giving them instructions on how to do it, or possibly even putting out like a little download or installer just to install it everywhere in a Windows box. But anyways, thoughts?
You think Russia's more concerned about what their people are seeing or what their people are saying?
I
Both.
doubt. It's probably more just making sure they have options, because they're obviously moving into a different direction where, than the way they've been operating for the past few years. They probably want to have options when it comes to monitoring, controlling, whatever. And a more sinister thing would be that not just controlling what people post or seeing what people post, there's nothing to prevent you from altering it in real time if you're doing this kind of man in the middle. So let's say I'm trying to post something on Facebook and I'm going through this man in the middle. There's absolutely nothing to stop the proxy that I was describing earlier, which, did I explain that well enough? Did was
Yeah,
that okay?
my Lord, sorry.
Just make it. You know, when you get into this esoteric shit that you only really deal with other people who deal with it, or, you know, corporate networks and the like, you're not always certain that you've explained things well enough, because I've discovered on more than one occasion things that I think are basic common knowledge are not. So it's like sometimes I've used slang or a word or something that I fully expected somebody else to understand and then was quite surprised when they didn't. Google
Oh,
food.
yeah.
I didn't think.
Common knowledge in industry is not always common knowledge.
Well, I didn't think Google foo was a unique term, but apparently it is, so doesn't matter. Anyways, little inside baseball something there. Don't worry about it. Anyways, yeah, so there's nothing to stop them. So, you know, if I'm on Facebook and going through this proxy and trying to post photos of the horrible war crimes and posts of help, help, look what they're doing to us, there's nothing to stop it from swapping out the photos to rainbows and sunshines and unicorns and posting, "Oh, I love our, you know, great leader," or whatever they're calling him. So, you know, there's nothing to stop that once, you know, they get that connection open for you. So they could really do a lot worse than just monitor. I imagine it's step one. You know, they probably want to have. I mean, Russia's been kind of pushing this way for a little while, anyways. But they probably want to have their own internet, their own services. You know, we did a story a couple of months ago where they were pushing laws and regulations that, you know, if you accepted Russian, you know, if you're going to do something in Russia, your servers had to be in Russia. Right. So I think we're looking at a multi-step process for them to build their own internet that they have a heavier hand on than the I guess you'd say traditional internet at this point.
I guess if you're gonna just do everything in country, but not sure how much out of country activity I actually do, because I think the BBC even has sites in the US, but it's just bizarre thinking of cutting your country off like that.
Well, I'll tell you that a lot of the major networks, social networks, as well as things like Google, they do a lot of geo distribution. So whereas you may never connect to a server in Ireland, a server in, you know, China, at least directly, because a lot of this, the reason you do this is to geolocated IPs and things like that, so that you always have fast performance. A lot of times your data gets copied out on these servers that are in various data centers all over the world. Because what if you tried to, you know, what if you went on vacation and tried to access it from Ireland or Europe or something like that? Do you really want to sit there and wait on the American servers to go across transatlantic cable? That'd be terrible performance. So no, they tend to copy your data all over the place. And like Facebook and Twitter have gotten in trouble with the EU with this already a couple of times because the EU doesn't want them shipping their data, you know, offshores. But that's just kind of how a lot of these networks are built, that they upload all of their data into these content distribution systems, which of course have data centers all over the world. So, you know, it's not impossible that your data, Madman, even having never connected to one of these servers out of the country, is floating around on them.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of the big advantage of Russia building their own internet outside of, I just want to control what my people see and do.
The advantage is, Madman, no TikTok, no Facebook, no Reddit.
It also
There's
means
a lot
that
of
they
upsides.
Would have... That they would have Russian companies running the Russian version of Facebook, the Russian version of TikTok, so that they could make the profit from it rather than that profit going to an overseas company. The Russian version of Google, because they look at how much money some of these companies make off ads and off user data and all this, and they're like, no, we need to be making that money, not them. That's going overseas. That's not good. We need to make that money. I mean, China does this already just by demanding anybody who goes in there partner with a local company, right? But,
yeah,
you know, I'm sure Russia is looking at that going, we can't have this. You know, they've been looking, I mean, EU's been looking to get a cut out of Google and Facebook for how long now? Occasionally find them just for fun? I
mean, yeah.
So, I see a lot of advantages to it from a very cynical point of view, and it would also very much isolate your people, kind of defeating the point. So,
I don't know, man. I don't know. The overall mental health of your society, a little isolation could do us good right about now.
Yeah. True. Facebook is poison. It's a slow cancer.
TikTok. Fucking
TikTok's just, even worse, well, at least the American version. The Chinese version of TikTok's actually not that bad.
From what I hear, the top ones are like science and engineering projects.
Yeah,
instead of retarded fucking titty dances.
Well, I think what we were talking about where they're probably doing that on purpose, trying to dumb us down.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I'm seeing all these countries threaten isolationism, and I'm like, fuck, can we? Can we please? That'd be great. You know, no KFC, no McDonald's. This is a good fucking start, people. I'm not seeing downsides yet. You know?
You don't want to get any more KFC mashed potatoes?
There's things you can do without, man. And I don't want to take it away from other people, but Jesus Christ, you know, the public health could do with a break.
I would like to import some of the calisthenics Japanese companies do every day. I think that'd be good for the U.S., especially since we're going more and more sedentary every day.
Oh, I'll talk about that when I get to my, I think it's the last story I have for tonight. Yeah, it is. So
yeah, I'm not seeing a downside to what they're doing.
Okay, well.
The only downside I see is government control over what you see in here.
Even if they do
the good stuff, I think they're going to do more bad. But I'm also very cynical when it comes to government.
Well, I mean, are they going to go North Korean levels of disinformation?
No, am I, Madman? But, I mean, this whole open and fucking all inclusion, everybody do whatever they fucking want, it's not working out for the mental health of anyone right now.
No, it's not. Like,
I
think we should start reinstituting standards in our countries, but for a long time, those were socially
enforced,
and we don't enforce them anymore.
The problem is that society used to have this thing called expectations, and you'd meet expectational pushback for your challenging behavioral issues. But
I
don't do that anymore.
That.
And that completely threw me off my train of thought, Morphs, but
you're welcome.
Here we go.
Yeah, a suit and tie on a plane is a good idea. Being dressed up to go to a job interview I mean, little things like that. Saying
I
please and
mean,
thank you.
unless you're from an ancient fucking tribe, let's back off the face tattoos, people. You realize you're not going to be 21 forever. Let alone that 95 pounds you seem to you're okay at right now.
Well, I
I
also
don't know,
feel like
man. The problem is that when I was a teenager, everything, I rebelled against all the church and shit like that because I thought society was too rigid. You know, when once the church got out of our way and we're allowed to play D&D and just watch horror movies and shit like that, I'm like, yep, accomplished. And then they just kept going. Like, no, I didn't want that. I don't want that either. Why are you doing that? And I think we've hit, I don't know, Madman, you might have another take on this, but I think we've near hit peak degeneracy now. We may roll it back a bit.
I also think, though, I mean, we need people to exercise a little bit of self-control on themselves too. Whether that's
Well,
enforced via family, social standards outside of the fucking computer. I mean, yeah, everyone's,
responsibility.
yeah, but I mean, I kind of wonder, I mean, are people that fucking weak? I guess they are.
They are. Most being free is very fucking hard.
When you can be free
You
or you
have.
can be safe. So I'd
That's what I
rather be
mean.
free, but maybe not everybody else thinks that way.
We were talking about jobs yesterday, and my biggest thing was not being free. I've done everything I can to be my own boss all my life. And it scared the shit out of me that I'd have to actually go to do a wagey cagey job. But it's really fucking hard to be free because you can't just go and need a $200 on a credit card because you don't know where you're going to get that $200 to pay it back. You know what I mean? You've got to have a lot of personal responsibility and self-control and really control your impulses.
But I'm not talking about the level of self-control to run a business. I'm talking about the level of self-control to close Facebook after an hour and not lose your fucking mind because somebody on the internet is wrong.
Yeah.
It's not,
I
I
don't
mean, it's not
suffer
the
from
same
those
thing.
problems.
You know, I mean, we're
I
talking
mean,
about
maybe the
some
alcohol
basic
with the
level.
self-control,
Well,
but
there's
you can't tell drunk argue anything. He's a cunt.
that.
Leaving that bastard messages and he keeps writing fuck off. He can't tell me what to do.
Go ahead,
But
Madman. I'll let you get the last on that, and then we'll move on to the because got some other stuff I want to hit.
yeah, I was just thinking if you can't enforce social standards or have a society that even agrees what standard the standards are, the only way to have control is top down, and it's going to be enforced one way or the other.
Well,
It sucks.
we started with talking about Russia, so let's go back to Russia. This one is, well, Aryu didn't send me this particular story, but he told me about the headline. This one's from PC Mag. DuckDuckGo to downrank sites associated with Russian disinformation. Which, is this the first time DuckDuckGo is screwing with the algorithm?
First time they've
Yeah.
admitted to it,
Yeah.
and the first time I know of. But once you do it once, you can do it again.
Well, I mean,
Yep.
that's.
It's the step of Google.
We've seen that again and again, right? You know, I mean, the moment you start kicking off websites because you don't like their politics, I mean, you start off with the very worst one you can find, and after that, that door's open. So,
Yep.
DuckDuckGo is now downranking sites associated with the Russian disinformation in response to the Kremlin's invasion of the Ukraine or of Ukraine. It's not the Ukraine, but it sounds like it should be, you know.
A Ukraine.
That one over there. But some critics say the change amounts to censorship. DuckDuckGo's CEO Gabriel Weinberg announced the downranking on Twitter. Quote, "Like so many others, I'm sickened by Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the gigantic humanitarian crisis it continues to create," unquote, he wrote in the tweet, which included the hashtag #StandWithUkraine. Quote, "At DuckDuckGo, we've been rolling out search updates that downrank sites associated with Russian disinformation," unquote, he added. Weinberg didn't elaborate on the decision or how the downranking will work, but his tweet comes more than a week after the European Union announced it would ban the, quote, "Kremlin's media machine," unquote, for spreading propaganda justifying Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Since then, the internet industry has responded by blocking access to Russian state-sponsored media outlets such as RT and Sputnik News for users in the EU. In addition, Twitter has placed warning labels on tweets linking to Russian media Russian state media. Google News decided to de-rank RT and Sputnik News back in 2017 for allegedly circulating propaganda. Still, not everyone is a fan of DuckDuckGo's decision on Twitter. Some users equated the downranking to censorship. Others referenced DuckDuckGo's commitment to a, quote, unbiased search, unquote. One user, quote, so you are censoring your users? DDG now decides what is or isn't misinformation. This decision should be left to the user, unquote, wrote one user. Quote, you've got that magic disinformation finder, eh? Another user wrote, you're just sure you're only going to downrank things that are wrong, unquote. DuckDuckGo didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, but on Twitter, Weinberg was quick to defend the decision, saying it was necessary to provide relevant search results over disinformation. Quote, search engines, by definition, try to put more relevant content higher and less relevant content lower. That's not censorship, that's search ranking relevancy, unquote, Weinberg tweeted to one user. On Twitter, DuckDuckGo software engineer Shane Osborne also elaborated on what the company means when they say unbiased search results. Quote, everyone gets the same results. The results are not based on anything related to your personal information, unquote, he said. Update, DuckDuckGo sent PC Mag a statement on its decision to downrank sites associated with Russian disinformation. Quote, the primary utility of a search engine is to provide access to accurate information. Disinformation sites that deliberately put out false information to intentionally mislead people directly cut against that utility. Current examples are Russian state-sponsored media sites like RT and Sputnik. It's also important to note that downranking is different from censorship. We are simply using the fact that these sites are engaging in active disinformation campaigns as a ranking signal that the content they produce is of lower quality, just like there are signals for spammy sites or other low-quality content. In addition to this approach, for newsworthy topics, we're also continuing to highlight reputable news coverage and reliable instant answers at the top of our search results where they are seen and clicked the most. We are also in the process of thinking about other types of interventions, unquote. Well, we losing you, Madman?
Yep. But before I go, he does have a point of the search engine has to rank things, but I just don't like his criteria.
I mean, they're not removing him from the search engine, but they're downranking it. But
if it's on page 435, is it really on your search results?
Yeah, really. Again, it's that last sentence that I don't like there. We're also in the process of thinking about other types of interventions. Pretty sure that's the same road Google went down a few years back.
Yeah. They're not going to be evil. They're just going to take the don't be evil out of their slogan. They're still not going to be evil, though.
I mean,
think DuckDuckGo is still going to be a free from censorship search engine. They're just going to be less free from censorship, right?
Well, I mean, for now, they're probably still better than anybody else, but
yeah, they were meant to be the chosen one.
Don't do it.
I
have the high
reference. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you motherfuckers. I was promoting the shit out of you all last year.
Well, it's kind of like the South Park episode with the Walmart where they finally burn it down and then all go to the drugstore and the drugstore turns into Walmart and then they burn that down and then they start going to another little independent shop. Yeah. I think that's what we're going to see with search engines for a while.
Yeah, but I was hoping they would get bigger before they went corrupt. They didn't even get to challenge Google before they died.
We'll see what happens. But, they're... Well, you know what they say, the road to hell with good intentions and all.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity departments.
I'm not saying DuckDuckGo is bad. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying I want Russian disinformation out there. I just kind of feel like that goes against...
What, do you want American disinformation?
Not particularly.
Yes.
I'd rather just not have disinformation, personally.
That would be a great fucking start.
I mean, but while I'm over here in fantasy land, you know...
Yeah, I'd like a 9-inch cock, too, but it's not going to happen.
You know, and all the money I can have.
I'm not cutting anything off.
But So, but yeah, it's just disappointing that they're starting to play games with their search engine too, just because it opens the door. And I mean, sure, this is an easy one, right? It's like, oh, well, yeah, Russian disinformation. They're invading other countries. Everyone hates that. Let's do something. But now,
Where
we
was
just
the
disconnected
hashtag
from the
save
channel.
Yemen? Where was the hashtag fucking, save Nigeria? This isn't the first fucking war to happen this year. This is what I'm getting pissed off with. Sorry, sorry.
No, go for it.
Back, getting down. No. No,
I'm
leave
just,
it.
it's
I'm just
just,
saying, man.
I, yeah, it's
Why
just.
is suddenly everyone on Ukraine's side? Because they were told to be. This is I'm on board with the next message.
Are you, I'm getting some background noise. Are you assaulting a chicken?
I've got a gaggle of kookaburras out the back. It's mating season.
I'm sorry, it really sounded like a fucking chicken behind you in the mic there, and it
Yeah,
was
I
just
can
like.
imagine that. They're really loud, man. They get like 70 decibels when they're fucking cranking. Yeah, weird bird.
It sounds like a great excuse to keep some bottle rockets on hand.
No, man, they eat snakes.
Oh, well, that's handy.
Yeah, I love them being in my yard.
Well, it's like
Because if
those.
they.
It's like those spiders you were telling us about that are going to be invading, the southern United States there. It's like you read up on them. It's like, oh, they eat flies and mosquitoes. Yeah, fuck, leave the spiders alone.
Yeah.
Get enough fucking
I'm a
flies and
big.
mosquitoes around here. Yeah, take a couple giant spiders in the backyard. It'll be fine.
I'm a big live with it until it bites you,
So, well, they were saying the fangs on that one, even though it's venomous, aren't enough to actually break your skin. So, although if it's the size of, they said it was the size of a child's hand, I'm kind of surprised its fangs aren't bigger. So,
At least to say I'm not going to be handling it very often.
well,
I'm not going to be the guy to test the theory.
the real question is, are they gonna try to go for some other spiders? Are they gonna run out of other spiders? Because that'll be, I mean, if they supplant a brown recluse, fuck yeah, go for that. Fucking
You don't
hate
like the
those things,
brown
man.
recluse.
I fucking hate those things. And hide in your attic, giggling to themselves about the day you're finally gonna go up there and disturb their nest. As opposed to
A
a
bit like
black widow. Black widow at least come for you straight up.
the bit like the funnel web waits for you to be on the toilet before it strikes.
Well, that's just terrifying.
Yeah.
Next article is from The Verge. China-backed hackers breached government networks in at least six states, according to a new report. A technically advanced hacking group backed by the Chinese government has compromised the computer systems of at least six U.S. state governments, according to a newly published threat report from cybersecurity firm Mandiant. Now, problem I have
Didn't
with
Joe
that.
ask them not to do that?
I have a problem with that. The systems of state governments. Most states have more than one, and they're not always tied together. So. Curious what they actually got into here. Also, I'm curious how they did attribution. I'm not saying it's not China. I'm just saying I'm curious how they did attribution because I know it's fucking hard. The group, which Mandiant refers to as APT-41, targeted state governments in the U.S. between May of 2021 and February of 2022, according to the report. Where networks were breached, Mandiant found evidence of exfiltration of personal identifying information, quote, consistent with the with an espionage operation, unquote, although the company said that it could not make a definitive assessment of intent at this time. All in all, Mandiant's research paints a picture of a formidable, constantly adapting adversary. Quote, APT-41's recent activity against U.S. state governments consists of significant new capabilities, from new attack vectors to post-compromise tools and techniques, unquote. The report reads, quote, APT-41 can quickly adapt to their initial access techniques by recompromising an environment through a different vector, or by rapidly operating, I can't say that word for some reason, probably the alcohol,
Operating.
I can't say it, wow.
Yeah, we'll give it a skip for this
Yeah,
week.
by making it operational. a fresh vulnerability. The group also demonstrates a willingness to retool and deploy capabilities through new attack vectors as opposed to holding onto them for future use. Unquote. A spokesperson from the Cybersecurity Intelligence or Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, confirmed to The Verge that the agency was aware of the threat. In a statement, the spokesperson said, quote, CISA is actively working with our joint cyber defense collaborative private sector partners, including Mandiant, and government partners to address this advanced persistent threat to state government agencies and assist impacted entities. We are encouraging all organizations and critical infrastructure entities impacted by cyber intrusions to report to CISA and go to CISA.gov to take action to protect themselves, unquote. Mandiant has a history of uncovering severe cybersecurity threats, including state-sponsored attacks like the SolarWinds hack mounted against major U.S. government agencies by hackers believed to be backed by the Russian government. The company was also recently acquired by Google in a deal announced alongside the release of the report. According to Mandiant's research, the APT-41 group was able to breach the government's networks by exploiting vulnerabilities and applications built with Microsoft's .NET developer platform, including one previously unknown vulnerability in the Animal Health Reporting Database System, USA Herds.
Wow, that's obscure.
I was curious again, what systems they got into, whatnot.
Yeah, but that's actually really interesting. Well, just go for the stuff where they don't think they're vulnerable.
Well, I mean, that's probably one of those systems that's just been chugging along in the background. Nobody's really looking at it. Nobody's really thinking about it. You got a handful of people who put data in there. You got a handful of people who run reports out of there. And nobody thinks anything else about it. And, of course, those are great systems to target because they're usually not patched. They're usually not monitored. It's old.
That's what I mean. It's
usually
fucking
old code.
Brilliant.
You know, and I can tell you from having worked in some of these companies that when something's old code and the people who put it all together don't work there anymore, most of your current people are afraid to touch it because they don't know how to fix it if it goes wrong. It gets, you know, it gets frustrating really quick trying to secure this shit. not bitter at all. First developed by the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, USA Herds was touted as a model for improving disease traceability in livestock and subsequently adopted by other states. But a coding oversight led to the encryption keys that authorized certain operations within the application being hard-coded. And other thing, words, the thing was probably written 10 years ago when nobody thought about rotating your damn keys. Meaning that at the same time, across all instances of USA Herds, and compromising just one installation would allow a hacker to execute their code on any system running the software. It's not that uncommon. I have seen hard-coded keys quite often within various systems, usually Java systems. But they'll just put the key as a freaking string at the top of the code as opposed to... Well, actually, I can't really blame them. The Java key files are a pain in the ass. So, the key stores for Java are an absolute pain in the butt. I get it. Rufus Brown, a senior threat analyst at Mandiant, told The Verge that the full scale of the breach could include more targets than the six currently known. Quote, we have at least six states because there are likely more states affected based on our research, analysis, and communications with law enforcement, unquote, Brown said. Quote, we know that there are at least 18 states using USA Herds, so we assess that this is likely a broader campaign than the six states where we have confirmation. An email sent to Acclaim Systems, the old arcade guys? The developers of USA Herds, has not received a response at time of publication. Besides the compromise, well, they've probably been told by their lawyers not to. They're probably working with the government right now, and their lawyers are just, you know, screaming shut up every time they call them. besides the compromise of .NET-based applications, APT-41 also exploited the Log4Shell vulnerability. Of course they did. A serious and widespread bug in the Java Log4j library that was publicly disclosed in December of 2021. According to Mandiant's analysis, APT-41 began to mount attacks that exploited Log4j within hours of the details of the vulnerability being published and used the vulnerability to install backdoors into Linux systems that would give them ongoing access at a later date. Again, yeah, that's just building capabilities, which is in line with a government organization as opposed to an independent hacker group. Independent hacker groups tend to exploit and immediately compromise and try to use that compromise to turn it into cash of some sort. If they're government backed, they tend to operationalize. They tend to, hey, I said it. That was there the word go. I was trying to say earlier. They tend to build capabilities, i.e. build up a whole bunch of access and sit on it and wait till they actually have a mission involving.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be able to take a book of things they think they can do to whoever's paying them, and then they'll say, yeah, we'll do this, we'll give you a couple $1 million, that kind of thing. So that's usually how that works. I'm guessing on the numbers. Could be higher, could be lower. But yeah, that's what they do, is they build up a book of capabilities and then they sit on them until they need them. All of this points towards the sophistication and stealth of the APT-41 group, characteristics that have been a hallmark of its operations since it was first discovered. In cybersecurity parlance, APT designations are given to advanced persistent threats, the most sophisticated level of threat actor, and one that is typically either directly employed by a national government, i.e. the notorious Sandworm Group, believed to be a unit of Russia's GRU military intelligence agency, or an elite hacker group operating with state backing, which is much more common. I mean, because most of your elite hacker types don't do well with military structures.
No.
It's not like, oh, yeah, they're all pot smoking, you know, that's why they can't recruit. No. It's a different mindset, and it's a mindset that doesn't work well with a military organization. These people want to figure out what they can do. They don't want to take orders.
Pretty much it.
Yeah. So it's just a mindset problem. It's not a – I'm not slamming anybody, by the way. I'm just saying it's a mindset. So the activities of APT-41 were first detailed in an in-depth report from cybersecurity firm FireEye, which nicknamed the hacking group Double Dragon for its dual focus on espionage and financial cybercrime. Among other things, the FireEye report outlines a history of supply chain attacks against software developers going back as far as 2014. In some documented cases, APT-41 hackers were even able to inject malicious code into video game files that were sold to users by legitimate games distributors. The actions of the hacking group... Oh, a watering hole attack means... what's an example of this? Okay, well, the nightmare scenario. I'm going to go hack Microsoft and inject my own code into the Windows Update system so that the next time your computer runs Windows updates, you get my backdoors. That's like the nightmare scenario of a watering hole attack. It's usually not nearly that bad. It's usually like, some piece of software. Like it used to happen with some of the free PDF readers fairly commonly, where they'd go hack their site, replace the PDF reader with malware, and then about an hour later, the people who run the site would notice and fix it. So it's that kind of thing. It's, you know, you want to get into the people supplying the software. That way your malware gets distributed farther rather than just, you know, getting into systems and installing it directly. The actions of the hacking group eventually brought it to the attention of U.S. authorities. The Department of Justice issued charges against five members of APT-41 in 2019 and 2020, landing them a place on the FBI Cybercrime's Most Wanted list as a result. But do they actually have names? Or are they just, you know, APT member one, APT member two?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it looks good on paper. It says, look, we're doing something. Except, what you're doing is useless. I mean, I guess you could eventually tie somebody to it and charge them, and that's the hope, but let's be real. Your attribution is hard enough. Tracking down who some of these people are is not impossible, but is unlikely. You know, I mean, they could screw up. They could, they could get malware on their system. They could... do any number of things that expose who they are. It's just really flipping hard, especially when you're dealing international with countries that aren't exactly friendly to us right now. So, yeah. You'd be
hard-pressed to find a country that is fucking happy with you right now.
I'm just saying. So, Anyways, while APT-41 has been known to conduct financial crime as well as espionage operations, many researchers in this case believe the goal was the latter. Quote, "This is pretty consistent with an intelligence operation, likely espionage," Brown told The Verge. "Whatever they're after here is really important. Seems like they'll continue to go after it. At the end of the day, this stuff is not going to end until the folks behind it are arrested," unquote. The FBI did not respond to a request for comment. Kind of expected.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we pretty much beat that up during the story. Do you have anything else you want to hit on there?
No, I don't have anything.
Yeah, so.
Tipper was a great choice of vulnerable one to hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Really I wonder was. How long they were sitting in there just watching.
Average dwell time is a year and a half for most breaches. So... that's been coming down. It used to be multiple years.
I mean, this is just being the agricultural fucking thing. Like, as you said, it's just a box that very rarely get touched, let alone maintenance.
It's just sitting in the corner running, so why mess with it, right? I mean...
yeah.
But, anyways, you know, just kind of along the same lines, this one's from thenewstack.io. Dirty Pipeline is an awful Linux mess, and whoever named it Dirty Pipeline...
I was going to say, is this a porno?
I mean, just... whoever named it that, good job. As I write this, there's already a nasty exploit out there using the latest Linux kernel vulnerability, Dirty Pipeline, for any J random luster to overwrite root's password field in Etsy password. The expert at LWN.net called it a disconcerting kernel vulnerability. The author calls it a shoot me now security problem. I like the phrase game over scenario. I've used that one multiple times. I like that one. But let's not do that, shall we? Here's the 411 on Dirty Pipeline, a.k.a. CVE-2022-0847. Web host sysadmin and programmer Mark Kellerman found the security hole back in 2021, but he wasn't at first sure what was going on. After a lot of research, Kellerman tracked down the problem with the changes to the Linux kernel that became critical in Linux 5.8. With this update, Kellerman wrote, it, quote, "It became possible to overwrite data in the page cache simply by writing new data into the pipe prepared in a special way." So, Kellerman found that to make this vulnerability more interesting, it not only works without write permission, it works with immutable files on read-only BTRF snapshots and on read-only mounts, including CD-ROMs. That's because the page cache is always writable by the kernel, and writing to a pipe never checks any permissions. So, whoops. Yeah, Red Hat gives it a 7.8 common vulnerability scoring system rating. That's pretty high because it goes to 10. A 10 is like, you know, you can just look at it and take it over. So that's pretty bad. Besides the exploits already out there, the author read the code and Kellerman's excellent step-by-step description of how he found it. And so, yeah, there's tons of information out there using it. Or about using it. Any distro using Linux kernel is vulnerable to versions 5.8 and forward, so they haven't fixed it yet. Good news is the Linux kernel team has fixed it in 5.16.11, 5.15.25, and 5.10.102. The bad news is that as of Monday evening on the U.S. East Coast, not all distributions have released patches yet. So Red Hat Enterprise 8 can still be attacked. Currently, there's no migration mitigation available for the flaw. Same is true for Ubuntu. Usually at this point in the article, the author would tell you to patch the systems, but right now you're stuck waiting on the patches to come out or grabbing the actual kernel source and doing it yourself. So most people aren't going to do that, especially because a lot of Linux hosts these days are enterprise. So until Red Hat and Ubuntu get their fixes out, because those are your two big main ones, SUSE is the other one, this is a problem. Now, it does require you to be on the system, right? You need to actually be able to write to a Linux pipe. So, you know, it's not just blindly exploitable. You do have to at least get a shell on the box somehow. But, you know, any old code execution flaw in the web server will probably do the trick. So, but, yeah, this is taking advantage of the way Linux handles pipes because it doesn't do permission checks. And if you construct the pipe in a rather deliberate way, you can... basically rewrite certain parts of memory and use that to alter files. So if you can do that, you can effectively root the system through it. So it's a privilege escalation. What is with me tonight?
Escalation.
Yes, thank you. I know it's been a long week, but God, I think I'd at least be able to talk. So yeah, bad news.
Yeah.
You know, if there's not a patch for your operating system, you might actually think about rolling back to kernel 5.7 if your hardware supported. Or if, I think 5.6 was the actual release you'd want to go to, because I think the odds are usually the beta stuff. So yeah. But yeah, so you might if there's not a patch available for you, you might think about downgrading your kernel till you can go up to one that's safe, especially if you're like running VMs or web pages that might not be particularly clean or anything along those lines.
Yeah.
All right. Next article is from PC World. Surprising nobody, stolen NVIDIA certificates used to hide malware in driver downloads. Because of course they were. Last week, NVIDIA confirmed it had been the victim of an internal hack, though it claimed no customer information was compromised. While the hackers have made some very strange demands, threatening to release release sensitive corporate data if NVIDIA doesn't unlock some of its most powerful graphics cards for cryptocurrency mining, regular users didn't need to worry much. Today, we're seeing one of the first effects of the hack on end users. NVIDIA's GPU driver packages with malware hidden inside, because the driver source code was in one of the released files, including the signing certificate. So, of course, they're doing this. While it's also always possible for malfactors to host links pretending to be drivers in the hope of installing viruses, trojans, and other nasty stuff onto a PC, this situation is more concerning. The hackers appear to have leaked NVIDIA's official code signing certificate. That means that users and Microsoft can verify the download from the publisher it came from. You know, that's the whole double check thing that a lot of operating systems do now, the whole code signing thing.
Yeah.
So, whoops. That's allowing files containing the host of popular malware suites to be posted and downloaded, bypassing Windows Defender built-in executable verification, slipping past most antivirus software. Bleeping Computer reports that two now expired but still usable verification codes have been compromised and used to deliver remote access trojans. Another example, using the NVIDIA verification to sign a fake Windows driver, was also spotted. While it's possible to block the installation of packages with expired codes using Windows Defender, that's an advanced technique that's probably not in the interest of your company's sysadmin. For regular users looking for the latest graphics card drivers, you know, always only get them from NVIDIA. So, yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
I mean, they've released this code signing cert, so of course people are abusing it. So, I mean, yeah, there's nothing to talk about. It's just kind of a no duh, right?
Yeah, it is what it is.
All right. Last article for tonight's from the BBC. Fitbit recalls iconic watch following skin burns.
Boom.
Fitbit has recalled one of its fitness tracking smartwatches due to the risk of it overheating and burning people. I recently bought a watch and I was looking at Fitbits until I saw the reviews about how bad their sensors were, and it's like, wow, dodged a bullet on this one. The company now owned by Google. What? Go ahead.
What? Now they're gonna tell you that the palladium that they're running on is leaking? You know.
I'm sure it's the battery. The company now owned by Google has said it issued a voluntary recall of the Fitbit Ionic watch. It will give people who purchase the device a full refund of $299 and a discount on a replacement product. The Fitbit Ionic was manufactured between 2017 and 2020, and 1.7 million of them were sold internationally. None of its other fitness trackers are affected by the recall. Fitbit has received more than 170 reports of the lithium battery in its Ionic watch overheating, according to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. The CPSC said it was aware of 78 reports of burn injuries in the U.S., including two reports of third-degree burns
wow.
from an overheating battery. I mean, yeah, dude. Smartwatch, you're strapping a lithium battery to your wrist. I mean, you don't think about it until, well...
until it explodes on your arm. Like, that's not a slow boil when you, to get a third-degree burn.
Yeah, it's got to happen pretty quick, but it's strapped on your wrist, right? So, I mean, getting it off in a panic might be rough. Especially because most of them are made of plastic and silicone, so when it gets that hot, it's fusing.
Well, it'd be melting the plastic.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
Wow.
Yeah, a third-degree burn is severe burn that destroys the skin and may damage the underlying tissue and often requires a skin graft. Yeah, that's the trick. First and second-degree burns, you'll probably heal. A third-degree burn...
you're requiring antibiotics and,
yeah,
and
that's,
skin
that's,
graft.
That's bad
point.
Because they won't heal correctly. You know, when you see burn victims... Yeah, those are third-degree burns. That's why they look like that. So, the CPSC said it was aware of 40 burn injuries internationally. In a statement, Fitbit said, customer safety is always Fitbit's top priority, and out of abundance of caution, we are volunteering recalling Fitbit Ionic smartwatches. No, an abundance of caution would have been doing enough testing beforehand that you didn't have exploding batteries in the watch before you sold it.
That yeah, might have been a thing.
It said the number of reports about the watches overheating is less than 0.01% of units sold. Okay, that's still a lot of units. Yeah, lies, damn lies, and statistics, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, it looks like dodged a bullet going with the, you know, the consumer drone Apple Watch as opposed to the Fitbit.
Yeah.
Of course, that's assuming the Apple Watch doesn't start doing the same damn thing. That would suck.
All made in China.
Yeah.
Russian component, American component, all made in China. Used to be Taiwan, but we don't talk about Taiwan.
Oh, well, that's going to be the next fight, isn't it? So,
one at a time.
All right, let's do this. We're going to have to give Madman shit when he gets back on, see what he had to dump off for. I'm just being an ass. I'm sure he had a real reason. I just, you know.
A hot chick.
Well, that'd be worth it. So I've got two things for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is it's a write-up of this guy who built an 8-bit computer on breadboards. I don't see a processor here. I think he did all of the processing with discrete 74 series logic.
Damn, that's cool.
So I'm not saying you should run out and replicate this build, but it looks like a damned interesting read because, I mean, you just look at the photo at the top of the thing where he's got 14 breadboards. And then some in the middle there, and I'm not sure how many that is in the middle. Probably it looks like another 4. So, yeah, he's got 18 breadboards that are all hooked together to make a basic 8-bit computer. And this is like an Altair, right? So it's you're
yeah.
setting switches and you know, lighting LEDs. But, yeah, it's all discrete 74 series logic. He's got the parts list, so if you want to replicate it, you certainly can. And he's got the different parts laid out, you know, on the different bread. That's one of the reasons he's used so many different breadboards is he's got them separated by component, right?
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, memory, clock, registers, program counter, you know, the arithmetic logic unit. And he's just using XOR gates and transceivers to do the math. So, you know, it's the logic that goes on in a processor. He's just broken that into 76 series logic and done it on a breadboard. And, yeah, he's got a series of LEDs down there to show the output and even a handful of the control signals and the machine instructions it takes, and it's not many. But, you know, if you wanna know what's really going on inside a machine, this is certainly a fantastic read. And the second thing I have for Dojo tonight, which I do expect more people to make use of, is a website game called Micropolis. I'm saying that wrong. It's like Metropolis, but Micropolis. .js. It's a handmade JavaScript port of the open source city simulator, Micropolis, which is a clone of the original SimCity.
That's cool.
So you can play the old school SimCity in your web browser in JavaScript. So I fully expect people to enjoy that one. But that's all I have for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. I did get a bunch of notes from Psychros, so I did want to call that out. I appreciate you sending me the link, Psychros. I frankly forgot to check them when I was putting the show notes together, but I do remember getting those. So one of them looked more like an IHN link than anything. So anyways, that might be why I wasn't thinking about it when I was doing the show tonight. But also, it had been a long-ass day at work, so I just was trying to get them done. In the IRC tonight, Al Hazard, CyberLard, Psychros, and myself. Are you? Closing thoughts?
Not a lot. I don't really have much. Sort of just trying to space out, man. Getting to the end of the, as they say, news cycle. Ready for my day off.
Fun. Yeah, well, we've talked about that whole disconnecting thing, and that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, having a little discipline, you know.
Well, the problem is it's like having a car crash when you get back. You know, the whiplash is fucking intense. Well, it was this week anyway.
Oh, I know what you mean. It's like taking a couple of days off work. Nobody covers it, and you just come back to a pile. Great.
Yeah, and I mean, I walked in on Tuesday, and I'm like, what do you mean war? Wait, what happened?
What'd you do?
What'd you do? You know, like, fuck. Yeah, that was fun. I knew it was happening. It was just like, really? That really got out of hand quick. That really escalated quickly.
All right. Sound effects.
Time. Anyway.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm.
Down, go nose down and call the night.